thanks very much to Chris Collins from Logos for having me here with this great crew of readers. It's really a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much to Joan and Jimmy for decades of being supportive to Pittsburgh poets. It means so very, very much. There's so many poets, not just in this room, but out everywhere, who owe a great debt of thanks. So thanks to them, too. As Chris mentioned, I've got a new book out. It kind of follows the first two books, a little bit more haiku. So the more I write, the less I write. So I thought I would just, before I begin, share the idea of haiku, because sometimes it's confusing to people. I think people think of it as a three-line piece with a certain amount of syllables, but that's really not the most important part. The most important part in good haiku is that generally there are two elements that are juxtaposed. They either conflict or they complement each other, and they create a third element, the best haiku, and that element would be in the listener's or the reader's mind. So it's the listener or the reader who completes the poem. So that's all I have to say about haiku. There's going to be a lot of them tonight, so hang in there. I'm going to begin. I have four readings in 3 weeks, and so I just keep doing things differently so as not to bore myself, let alone you. So I'm going to start with some big picture pieces, astronomical pieces, and maybe big picture from another point of view, too. A handful of poems here. Full moon entering the house, another world. And this is a spring summer piece. Blinking, the stars disappear. The darkness remains. The next two pieces, one is by me and one is by the classic haiku poet Kobayashi Issa, who was alive in the early 19th century. both of these pieces, I'm doing them together because both of these pieces do something that in traditional haiku has been going on for hundreds of years, and that is an attempt of a haiku poet to stuff an entire galaxy into a three-line poem. First, the poem by Issa, and he references paper doors, which in Japanese architecture, if you know, is sliding paper doors. He was also in deadly poverty, and so that's referenced here. Looking pretty in a hole in the paper door, the Milky Way. And this is my more modern take on that theme. This was published in the Pittsburgh Poetry Review. At my feet, the Milky Way wrapper unfolding. It's great when you applaud, I get to have a sip of beer. These next two poems, again, one by me, one by a classic haiku poet, Basho. The first one I wrote, and then I read a couple of months later Basho's poem, which was very humbling, and so I try to couple them together. Basho references something in his poem called Satori, which is a Buddhist term for awakening, which is kind of the idea behind that third element in the mind of the listener. First is my piece. Lightning flash, how brief the scene. And this is Basho. How very noble one who finds no Satori in the lightning flash. Next two pieces are sparrow pieces, my favorite bird. This first one is not even in a new book, it's brand new. A sparrow screeching on the wire. Spoilers. And this one took place at the corner of Baird and Craig. I was in the bus and saw it. Nesting sparrows, in the traffic light squealing, go, 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 go. Spring poem. At the brink of desperation, a pink peony. And this is three summer pieces. First one. At the bottom of the firefly jar, fireflies. And this one, when I was younger, we would go fishing, and sometimes we didn't have a pole, and sometimes we didn't have a hook. We'd have a bent pin. Well, this is about fishing with an unbent pin. Fishing with an unbent pin, catching everything. This next haiku is nine lines long, one word per line. It's only 13 syllables. And it's lined up. Red berries on a branch, one thought after another. Two poems themed together. No GPS, dashboard Buddha, smiling. And this happens to me every single time I do it. You might want to try it out yourself. Auto-correcting each time it's capitalized. Zen. Two mountain poems. This first one I saw in Portland when I first saw Mount Hood in the distance. Father Mountain, one day will you too leave town? And this one is five words long. It's a monostitch, a one-liner. It's the writer James Baldwin wrote a novel, one of his great novels, Go Tell It to the Mountain, was based on a well-known spiritual. This is something of a reply. The mountain, telling it back. This is something that is happening to boomers all over, and thank God it happened to me. Dusting, not polishing his shoes, the retired postman. And another spring piece. Rising before bowing, the dying tulip. This next poem is, I don't know what it is, it's not a haiku, but when the new book was in galleys, one of the people who wrote a blurb for it loved it, so I thought I'd share it. You are the candle, the poem is the moth, the moth, the moth. This one, I used to work in Oakland. I walked every day from Lawrenceville to Oakland, and in the fall, this happened to me frequently. Intervention for anger, a falling leaf. And a poem for Rilke. Translating a poem differently every time, the autumn sky. Couple left. This is a couple of, when you get to be my age, less weddings, more funerals. So this has to do with that. At the church, the mortician smokes while he waits. And this one. Temporarily filling the cemetery. The living. And you can flip that around and say, the living filling the cemetery temporarily. This is a new one. Fly on a coffin lid, praying. And finally, the graveyard, too, abandoned. And one last poem. This one opens my new book, so I thought it would be great to close with it. In the end, the beginning, all names etched in moss. Thanks very much.